reading Buell or the even less self-conscious writing that he's trying to recuperate, might think for a moment the global South had invented the Hummer, the suburb, planned obsolescence, or disposable everything. To borrow Guy Spivak's description of the European civilizing mission, this version of environmentalism is something like white men saving brown women from a brown or browning world. I should point out that I am describing both Buell and myself as symptoms. Symptoms entirely consistent with Ron Lipson's diagnosis of the urgent need to bring U.S.-based environmentalism and post-colonial studies into conversation. Nixon's trenchant analysis in his 2005 essay, Environmentalism and Post-Colonialism, implies something rather surprising, which is that many post-colonialists, like Buell, if with very different political consequences, have been too quick to imagine environmental concern as the purview of those bourgeois, white, and male. Conversely, Nixon argues, the U.S.-centric institutional and epistemological locus of eco-criticism makes urgently clear, and I could get another slide, thank you. This is a quote from Nixon that we'll pick up eventually. So Nixon says that there's a clear need to refuse a vision of environmentalism as invented at the center and exported to or imposed on the periphery. Such center-periphery thinking constitutes both a source of post-colonialist's pervasive indifference to environmentalism and, conversely, a source of the debilitating strength of superpower parochialism that lingers among many American eco-critics and writers. Just as subaltern studies embarked upon a project of provincializing the West, so too we need to provincialize American environmentalism if we are to regenerate and diversify the field. Perhaps because he is less naive than I, Nixon does not remark upon the profound irony of the disseminationist model of American environmentalism that is to spread like waves and trees. If we can see its center-periphery model as in terms of spreading the gospel of green, as I suggested before, then this version of environmentalism replicates imperialist ideologies in which the West is the source of civilization, progress, and modernity, which it exports to the rest. Could I get a slide, please? In her recent book, Sense of Place or Sense of Planet, Ursula Heise examines the pervasive emphasis on the local, that is, as she helpfully points out, unique to American environmentalism. What I want to suggest is that when U.S. writers have begun to look beyond the local, as with Buell or Robert Kaplan's apocalyptic taxi rides in The Coming Anarchy, the West is all too often figured as both threatened by and the prospective model and savior for the unenlightened, nature-wasting masses of the global South. To the extent that these ethnocentric assumptions have sometimes undergirded the subfield of U.S.-based eco-criticism, what I'm trying to suggest is that a particular progress narrative finds new life in environmental discourse after post-colonial studies has already dismantled the older disseminationist progress narratives that underwrote high imperialism and mid-20th century modernization theory. From a post-colonial perspective, then, to begin to engage in a systematic way with the formal discourse of U.S.-based eco-criticism seems to require going back to square one in terms of demystifying the notion of the West as the site from which all blessings flow. What I want to argue is that taking seriously the question of nature can not only help us to move beyond the mutual silence between environmentalism and post-colonialism, as Nixon suggests, but also help to deepen our understanding both of these discourses in relation to the history of capitalism and its critiques. I have in mind a triangular conversation about the nature of nature, in which Marxian critiques of capitalism can fully inform both post-colonial theories' critique of colonialism and post-coloniality, as well as eco-criticism's environmental concern. Contemporary post-colonialism and environmental discourse may each bear an uneasy, even a strained relationship to Marxism and vice versa, but I argue their prehistories allow us to see how the question of nature deeply implicates all three. Venezuelan anthropologist Fernando Coronio, for example, demonstrates how the question of nature has been marginalized in critiques of capitalism after Marx. He argues that if we consider the history of global capitalism not only in terms of an international division of labor, but also in terms of an international division of nature, we can better understand the continuities and discontinuities between colonialism and contemporary neoliberal globalization. Understanding capitalism's fundamental and long-standing reliance upon nature and natural resources located outside of Europe can, in Coronel's words, here's the quote from the beginning, counter Eurocentric conceptions that identify modernity with Europe and relegate the periphery to a pre-modern primitivity. By bringing out a neglected structuring principle of capitalist development, this perspective helps us to see capitalism as a global process rather than a European phenomenon. Where Coronel rejects a progress narrative in which modernity travels to the periphery on the wings of a capitalism that originates solely in Europe and thus uses the question of nature to deprovincialize Marxism, Franz Fanon insists upon a similar dynamic that has important implications for understanding the prehistory of contemporary postcolonial studies. In The Wretched of the Earth, first published in 1961, Fanon wrote, and you have to be patient for a minute, he wrote, "This European opulence is literally scandalous, for it has been founded upon slavery. It has been nourished with the blood of slaves, and it comes directly from the soil and the subsoil of that underdeveloped world. The wealth of the imperial countries is our wealth, too. Europe has stuffed herself inordinately with the gold and raw materials of the colonial countries, Latin America, China, and Africa. From all these continents, under whose eyes Europe today raises up her tower of opulence, there has flowed out for centuries toward that same Europe diamonds and oil, silk and cotton, wood and exotic products. Europe is literally the creation of the third world." Here, Fanon reverses the familiar traffic lines of the disseminationist progress narrative. All good things flow towards Europe. It is the third world that has made the development, wealth, and modernity of Europe possible. He makes visible the crucial difference between being underdeveloped and being merely